The following program is a special presentation from the Talking Information Center. We would like to thank the Duxbury, Hingham, Kingston, Marshfield, Pembroke, Quincy, and Scituate Cultural Councils who helped sponsor this year's radio theater season. Please enjoy the show.
Greetings from the Talking Information Center, and hello to our listeners. Tonight, the Talking Information Center's Radio Theater presents an episode of Broadway's My Beat, the Howard Crawford murder case, originally broadcast on August 5th, 1951. This popular crime series featured Danny Clover, a homicide detective with a cynical poet's heart, keenly observing the goings-on in his part of New York City. His beat was Broadway, from Times Square to Columbus Circle. It was the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
When the summer becomes August, Broadway pauses for a while, considers. What happened to the springtime dreams to be fulfilled in the middle of July at the very latest? And what if the blonde on last month's snapshots, the one with sunny legs, the one you tried with poetry and she touched your cheek, the fawn of Camp Nevercare, jewel of the Catskills. Yeah, she's back in the Bronx shoe store, kid. And the last time you walked by, she didn't look so good. So you walk the streets furious with people and heat, and you feel your throat tighten when it suddenly comes to you another summer's rushing away. Maybe next year, kid. Maybe. And uptown, east of Broadway, where I was, in the outdoor swimming pool, catering also to the seekers after something or other, the crowd was divided into swimmers, non-swimmers, sand sitters, ukulele players, and miscellaneous. And the man in the swimming trunks lying on the concrete walk, the man who had drowned, and the police emergency crew working over him with a respirator, and the man from headquarters who'd gotten there before me.
They've been working on him for quite a while, Danny.
Why'd you call me to come down, Muggerman?
I asked the same question of Patrolman Kenny. It's like this, Danny. Kenny was flagged off his beat when this man was dragged out of the pool. He took off the man's locker check, went to the locker, you know, for identification. The locker was empty.
Forced?
Uh-uh. Those locks answer to a dime store skeleton key. A robber gets a dozen calls a day from these pools.
So you figure that man's drowning and his locker being robbed had something to do...
Maybe a coincidence, Danny. Maybe something else. I don't know. I wanted you to be here in case you didn't... Let's take a look.
Can't save him, huh, officer? All right, one of you men, call the morgue.
The lifeguard who pulled him out is that one, Danny. You want to talk to him?
Uh-huh. I'm from the police, Danny Clover.
Russ Gavey.
What happened here?
I was on my stand. It wasn't too busy a day. Him, he started to yell. I went in after him.
How'd you get those scratches on your shoulder?
He fought me. I had to take him under to break his hold. When he stopped struggling, I got him out. By that time, he needed artificial respiration.
That's unusual, isn't it?
It could have been his heart. It happens sometimes. I didn't have any way of telling. I gave him respiration. Till your men came.
All right. Did Detective Muggerman here tell you this man's clothes are gone? That it's going to be pretty difficult to identify him now?
He told me.
Any ideas about it?
Sneak thief. Coincidence, I guess. I don't know. How do I know?
Okay, Russ. Back to the office at headquarters and sit with it. A man had been drowned in a public pool. From a policeman's point of view, worth only a quarter-page form in triplicate. However, the fact of his locker being robbed, well, maybe something else again. Probably not more forms. Then a couple of hours later, when the office gathers up its private shadows, a door opens, and a man walks in.
Danny, you busy?
Hey, come in, Dr. Sinsky. Sit down.
I just came from the autopsy room, Danny.
And?
Has that man brought in from the swimming pool, the drowned one, has he been identified, Danny?
Not yet. What's on your mind?
He was murdered.
Murdered? How?
I say murdered. This, of course, is my way of using a figure of speech.
Come on, get off it, Doc. What are you trying to say?
Whoever administered artificial respiration to that man killed him, as surely as if he had driven a knife into his heart. Again, a figure of speech.
Dr. Sinsky.
Gently, Danny, gently. I'll explain. Inside of the chest, Danny, is a delicate system of balances. Balances which cannot be upset, else a man's heart will be affected, and his lungs.
Now, what's that got to do with murder?
Simply that the autopsy I just performed on the drowned man revealed small internal hemorrhages, bruises of the muscles and bones of the chest from too active a manipulation.
You mean that lifeguard didn't do his job?
I mean he did a very bad job of artificial respiration.
And that's why you call it murder, huh? Not premeditated, of course, Doctor.
You're a policeman, Danny, and I know you. This is not the question in your mind. You wanted to ask if it was premeditated, didn't you, Danny?
And let the question take over the room. Add the weight of its violence to the oppressive night heat, the stifling remembrance of other such questions posed in the same room quietly, fearfully. Because a policeman, too, reacts to the touch of death. It fills the room. And against its pressure, you lift the phone, make the call to the Department of Public Works, have them check personnel files, and come up with an address for Russ Gavey, lifeguard. So you go there, to the hall bedroom furnished in the style of brownstone, East 20s. You find it empty of Russ Gavey. And you're told on the way out by the woman spread wide on the stoop. You should have asked before. Russ was across the street in the park, on that bench, fighting for his share of the night air. So you walk up to Russ, let him chew the last fiber of a matchstick.
Take in some well-earned rest. Want to help, Mr. Clover?
Sure. You mind if I sit down, Russ?
Funny you should ask it like that. I've been sitting here thinking to myself how I own this bench, this park, the river, the world with the people in it. Sure, sit down.
You were almost a hero today, Russ. Maybe that gives you a right to think like that.
You kidding? That's how I make my daily summer bread. $50 a week. Ogle the girls, save a life. Sometimes I don't get to do either one. Then I come sit here and build myself up to me all over again.
So how long you been a lifeguard, Russ?
6, maybe 7 summers. Time out for a frolic on Anzio Beach.
Then you've had a lot of experience saving people from drowning.
My allotted share. That's all of my life you want?
The medical examiner down at headquarters says that the man you tried to save, you remember the one, the unidentified one, the one who had his clothes stolen?
I remember. What about the poor man?
Yeah, well, our medical examiner says he was murdered.
You could call it that. A lonesome boy comes for an afternoon of fun and gaiety at a public pool. It takes his breath away, makes a cramp. He drowns. A poet could call it murder to be taken from all that fun in the sun right in the middle.
Not a poet. Police. Our man says it was murder because artificial respiration wasn't applied properly.
Your man is a smart man, but a 4-bit-a-week lifeguard does the best he can. Studies in classes, follows the first aid manual. You call him a murderer because he didn't make out with one poor slob?
You tell me, Russ. You murder the man?
Considering the percentage of lives that are saved and not saved by such as we, that's a question you may never be able to answer, huh, Cub?
Yeah, well, I'll keep trying, Russ. And you won't mind, will you?
Danny, why don't you never turn on a light? You sit like this in the dark by yourself. It's a... I got one of the Tartaglia kids. He comes home, does the same thing. You both make me feel the same way.
You've got your problems, haven't you, Gino?
Oh, I could do without them. Okay, I turn on a light.
Sure, anything you want, Gino.
Many thanks for the favors. You in the mood, Danny?
Sure, for whatever. What do you got?
Nothing. No progress on identification of the drowned man. No progress on a connection between him and that lifeguard, Ruffs Gavi. And reports on Gavi state he looked up to at the pool by girls and ladies-sized swimmers. Occasionally, he buys for one of the other a beer at the concession stand. Occasionally, escorts one of the other type to her home, deposits her, goes to the newsstand, buys super type magazines, goes to his room. A healthy, normal, muscle boy.
Yeah, and maybe a murderer, Gino.
This is a statement, Danny, with which, pardon me, I must take the odds against. Sergeant Tartaglia speaking. Yes? Yes, I got it. Henson's a pawn shop. East 34th. I told you I got it. What's to... I'll report it to the proper... Yeah. They bother us with such...
Such what, Gino?
A woman with a pawn shop got to know just in the midst of a nicer conversation because somebody who works in a pool hocked a suit of clothes, valuables, looked to this Mrs. Henson like stolen goods. As I was saying, Danny...
On East 34th?
Yeah. Why bother yourself with it, Danny? I'll give it to robbery.
I want it, Gino, because maybe it'll give me the name of a murdered man.
You might ask me why I called the police, Mr. Clover, after so many months of abstemiously staying away from you fellows.
All right, Mrs. Hansen, why?
Because there was something fishy about it this time. Fishy. And I use the word deliberately.
There was a fish in this suit of clothes?
No. You fellows have such literal brains. It's only that this suit, this watch, ring, money clip, was brought to me by a boy who was an attendant at a public pool. Pool, water, fish, fishy. A logical association.
The pool on Upper Broadway?
Inevitably that pool, where that unidentified man was drowned. His things stolen. You read about it, of course.
Who brought these to you?
A boy. Know him well. Have had dealings with him intermittently.
I see. Who's the boy?
Bobby Kent. Has a room in one of those crates on East 37th. 1654 East 37th. Just ask for Bobby. We all know him.
And you think these things belong to the drowned man?
The man was robbed where Bobby works. Died where Bobby works. Bobby pawns things that obviously don't belong to him. What is there left for a decent woman to think, Mr. Clover?
Then the three-block walk through the languid summer night. The city-bound and dream-bound people on the sandstone steps who find their delights in a pop bottle, or by taking possession of a star in the sky, or by cooling themselves with a fan courtesy of Swanson's chicken fricassee. Pass them and mind the kiddies at their nighttime play, the patter of little feet up an alley, and arrive at the address on 37th Street. And over one of the bells, you see a name, Bobby Kent, apartment 3. And the sound you hear is the far-off thunder, made of heat and air currents and stratosphere. And the lightning through the window at the end of the corridor lights up the number 3 on a door. Briefly, and then again. Bobby? Bobby Kent. This is the police, Bobby. Open up. All right, I'm coming in, Bobby. Bobby was in. His shirt was ripped, his face bloody. Hands tied behind his back, belt around his neck. And the belt was strung over a pipe near the ceiling. When I brought over a chair to stand on, there was lightning again, and the whole room was stark white for an instant. It took a while to get Bobby down, but it didn't matter. Bobby had been dead when I got there. Bobby had been murdered. Broadway leans against a doorway, flips a coin, and makes odds on the 31 days of August. This month, kid, it'll come in. The filly in the third, the dreamboat, the oil on that little piece of property, at least in the Texas Badlands. Yeah, it's got to come in. Otherwise, what have you been building, kid? It's got to come in. So you can indulge the whim of the hour, enjoy it, own it. All that neon, yours to turn on or off. That music of the dance, calling to you from basement dance lands, yours to play soft or loud, or cut off like that. Dance in dark and in stillness if you want. And the traffic signals pushing back the people, yours to make say, stop, go. Yeah, you're a king, man, with headlines at your feet. Boy, murdered, hung by belt in tenement room. Unknown man drowned in public pool. Yeah, it's all yours, kid. A clean shuffle, a minute of luck. And it's all yours. And the next morning at headquarters, consider your share of it. Yours and Detective Mugovans.
You still stick with that, Danny? The man in the pool was murdered?
Yeah, you don't like it?
It's not that, Danny. It's only so many people drown. So many can't be saved. We gonna go back and call everyone that wasn't the murder victim?
Russ Gavey's a trained lifeguard. He told me the man fought him. Had to be pushed under.
It happens that way sometimes, Danny.
Yeah, well, it could have been the other way around. It could have been Russ wanted the man dead. Could have been he fought the man, drowned him, finished him with his own brand of artificial respiration.
It could have been, but where's the string that knots it, Danny? What connection
is there? That kid that was hung, Bobby Kent, the attendant at the pool. That could be a connection.
Because he stole a man's clothes out of a crummy locker? We're not even sure they belong to the drowned man.
Okay, what do we know about the Mugovan?
Well, I checked from the cleaner's marks. They belong to a man named Howard Crawford. He's married. I checked his wife. She'll be at the morgue to identify in a half hour. It would have come sooner. Said she wanted to go out and buy a dress first. So I let her.
All right, I'll go down and meet her. You get whatever you can on Bobby Kent. Friends, people he stole from, whoever wanted him dead.
Yeah, I'm working on it, Danny.
And put a tail on Gavey. Every breath he breathes, I want a report.
You got it. Anything else, Danny?
Yeah. Why does a woman need a new dress to look at a dead man?
I don't know. Ask her when you see her.
Are you ready, Mrs. Crawford?
Just waiting for you.
All right. Now just look at this man and tell me if he's...
All right, all right. Put him back. He's mine. Can we get out of this place now?
Yeah, of course. Just through this door. You want to sit down on this bench for a minute?
Or else, huh? Sure, I'll sit. So what do you think of my husband, Mr. Clover? Can you imagine it? Howard, getting himself a piece of marble in a police morgue.
When did you see him last?
I got out of a warm bed yesterday morning on account of the phone ringing. It was for Howard. I gave him the phone. He said okay to it, pinched my cheek and said, "Goodbye, honey, I'm going out of town."
This happened often, his going out of town?
In his line, he's a salesman. He sells ladies' specialties.
And you didn't see him after that?
Look, boyfriends, I was in the middle of a beauty exercise, bendovers for the figure, when he walked away. I was grabbing my ankles, and I looked back. There he was, going out of the house.
Doesn't it seem strange to you that he didn't go out of town, that he was found?
It's strange to me. He's dead, but I'm gonna get used to it.
Who do you know that had a reason for murdering him?
Murdered? I thought you said he drowned.
Do you like to swim, Mrs. Crawford?
See this sunburn? You think I got it standing under a hot iron? Look at it. See? How do you like it?
Did you get it at that swimming pool uptown?
Coney. I know a part of Coney where they carry a pretty good crowd. That's where this burn came from.
Yeah, well, there's a lifeguard at that pool named Bobby.
Look, lover, I'm a beach girl that likes to be looked at. And let's face it, I think that's generous of me. I like to be looked at because a girl has to feel attractive when she's got a husband so much away. So I go to Coney, where they carry a million on a weekend. I don't confine me to public pools uptown.
Did you have anything to do with your husband's death, Mrs. Crawford?
Now I'm a girl who's gonna tell you the truth, boyfriend. Every time I've thought of it, I've wished Howard dead every hour on the hour. I'd have wished him dead on the half hour, too. But that's when the race results come over the radio.
All right, that's all, Mrs. Crawford. You can get out of here now. And watch her reapply the lipstick and readjust her clothes. And walk away from her dead to a summer rhythm that no longer held any part of him. A woman starting the new day fresh. The memory she had submitted to now happily dead on a marble slab. And at the end of the corridor, the street sunlight touching her face for an instant, darting away, leaving only pallor and the smear of scarlet on her lips. And back in the office, order a shadow for Mrs. Crawford, then a telephoned report from Mugovan. He'd found a girl who was the girlfriend of Bobby Kent, a box office girl at an all-day, all-night movie on East 125th. Lucille Lang, on duty for the rest of the day and night.
So you got a good look? Now, how many, mister?
Please, Miss Lang.
Take back your badge. It don't buy nothing. You want a loge to dream in? Pay for it like the other lonelies.
You were a friend of Bobby Kent's.
Look, you want to lose me my job?
All we want, Miss Lang,
all
is to know...
All you want is to mark me lousy with the management, huh? A sweaty cop snooping around where I live? I know. My girlfriend called me. Told me he had his nose in my affairs. Ask questions. She had to tell him I was cozy with Bobby. Now you look, mister, tell me honest. It'll make you happy if you lose me my job.
All we want is something that'll give us Bobby's killer.
And you think I can give you that? Look, all I got in the world is nothing. From inside out, nothing. Search me up and down. You won't find Bobby's killer.
Then maybe someone who wanted him dead?
All the kid ever did was steal a buck here or there. So he could make an impression on me. On my girlfriend. On my girl's girlfriend. A boy has to die for that?
He was a thief.
Ain't everybody, kiddo? One way or the other? To sweep out a locker room in a public pool? To empty the foot baths, scrub them out? You think that's the end of the rainbow for a kid?
Did you know about the clothes he stole from the pool? The watch, the ring, the money clip?
Sure I know. He told me. That's how it was between Bobby and me. We shared our innermost secrets. Even the one about the $500 that was in the suit, he shared with me.
$500?
You didn't know about it? I should have bit off my tongue, shut the mouth before I told you how we was going to take that $500 and go off to faraway places. Catalina, Hollywood Boulevard, Sunset and Vine. But you know something, kiddo?
What?
I ain't going to make it, am I? Bobby's dead from hanging, and I'm cooped up in a cage. So I ain't going to make it, huh?
Danny?
Come on in, Mugovan. What do you want?
An opinion.
About what?
About how soon we should pick up Russ Gavey for the murder of Crawford and that pool attendant.
Well, if we pick him up, how long do you think we can hold him?
He's a killer, Danny.
He's not smart. How are you going to prove premeditated murder by artificial respiration?
Well, maybe we shouldn't start from there, Danny. Maybe we should start from the attendant. He killed Bobby Kent because Bobby stole the clothes. Because Bobby would learn that the clothes belonged to Howard Crawford. And Bobby's a sneak thief. From there to blackmail, it's one easy lesson.
All right, so we get back to Howard Crawford. You know what we need, Mugovan?
Yeah, a motive. We gotta find out why.
Danny?
You got something, Gino?
Officer Rachi just called from a gas station on the Queens Highway. Mrs. Crawford just registered at the Siesta Lodge Motel with 10 miles. It's about 10 miles out of the city.
Well, thanks, Gino. Mugovan?
Yeah, Danny?
That shadow you got on Russ Gavey? Get him off. I don't want Gavey followed.
All right. Where are you going?
To find out why a widow wanders far from home.
It's open. Pour yourself a drink. I'll be right in. I had my hair done. Where do you see it? Bought some new clothes, too. You'll like them. Huh. You'll like them, too, lover. You like them?
Is that your going-away dress, Mrs. Crawford?
It could be for that, too.
You've got a home in Manhattan, Mrs. Crawford. What are you doing here?
Where's your home, boyfriend? And what are you doing here?
I wanted to talk to you.
Me and my sunburn made an impression, huh? So you got a flunky to follow me. You know, you could have done it yourself. I wouldn't have cared. Well, here we are.
And you still haven't answered my question. What are you doing here?
A girl likes to get away sometimes. You'd be surprised how many phone calls I've gotten since Howard drank all that water. Here's a dime. Throw it in the radio. Now? Then I'll throw it a dime. Phone calls all day long. Now it's your turn.
Just to talk. Kill some time.
Oh, that Kenton. What'd you say, lover?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Be a doll. Go away. Come back another day. I'll be here. Let's pick a Tuesday and make it definite. Why don't you go right now?
Out the back way, through a window?
Just get out of here. Hi, Russ. we got a little trouble.
Come on in, Russ. Close the door.
I'll bet the lady told you to get out of here, Mr. Clover.
Uh-huh. You two know each other pretty well, don't you?
Yeah, swimming pool romance. I saw him in those California feet flippers and it twisted my heart.
Are you two planning on going away together? I only ask because the back of Russ's car is loaded with suitcases.
We're going to get married in Maryland. Is there a law?
Yeah, there is. There's a whole section in the penal code about murder.
Back to that, huh?
Look, I could have picked you up before, Russ, but I needed a motive. I had to find out why you murdered Howard Crawford. Well, there she is.
How did I murder him?
By drowning him. And you made sure the resuscitator squad wouldn't revive him. You crushed out whatever life there was in him.
Listen to him, Edith.
Yeah, listen. And you killed Bobby Kent, too. Yeah, he was a petty thief, and he took the clothes you'd stolen from Crawford. Sooner or later, he'd put two and two together. Probably would have blackmailed you. You couldn't afford to let that happen.
You ready, Edith?
I'm ready. Only one thing, Russ.
What?
I'm a happy girl, Russ. I like to live happy. From just now on, you're gonna be a burden. As long as lover here's got you, I don't want you.
Yeah, well, I want both of you because you're an accessory, Mrs. Crawford.
Well, that changes things right away. Take him, Russ.
Yeah.
Hey, don't be a fool. Okay, your way, Russ.
Hey, Russ.
You'll never be the same.
Come here.
You're gonna regret that.
Why, you...
Oh! Want another? How about for you?
What's the radio?
All right, I've had it. Take that, Russ.
All right. So, Mrs. Crawford, you ready to go back to town now? It's the time on Broadway when the crowd gives up, goes home. Then it's the street of the dim moonlight, and the dark whispers, and the wind of the night, the wind that scatters everything. Yesterday's headlines, yesterday's dreams, yesterday's people. Yeah, it's Broadway. The gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Yeah, that's Broadway. My beat.
We hope you enjoyed our performance of Broadway's My Beat, the Howard Crawford murder case. This radio play was produced and directed by Laura Kerrigan and engineered by John Shea, with assistance from Liz Vandenberg. It was performed by the following TIC volunteers: Rick Mason as Detective Danny Clover, Griffin McNamee as Detective Mugovan and your announcer, Paul Pisa as Russ Gavey, Jennifer Love as Edith Crawford, George Krein as Sergeant Tartaglia, Vicki Culligan as Lucille Lang, Pam Murphy as Mrs. Hansen, and Jean Blanchard as Dr. Sinsky. Tonight's performance will be available for streaming on the special programming page at ticnetwork.org. And be sure to tune in this December when TIC's radio and podcast players present a special holiday episode of The Six Shooter, Britt Ponsett's Christmas Carol. Until then, on behalf of our cast and everyone here at the Talking Information Center, we would like to thank you for listening. And that, dear listeners, is what we call a wrap.